Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, happy Thanksgiving, and welcome to the unofficial, no, it's the official one, the official Broadway Sid podcast, where we're drunk on theater.
Are you making an unofficial one behind our back?
No, I'm your host,
just
Brian.
Yeah.
And I don't even put it out there. I just do it for myself.
That's hysterical.
It's voice memos to his girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I may be a rookie in the ring, but being naked in Bethesda Fountain in Manhattan as the lights come up is what professional show business comedy is all about. The funny duck joke exits in the Musketeer sketch, but is larger than life in the Maxwell House. Welcome to Brooklyn, or am I in a Waldorf suite? If only the world were like the movies, because it's my favorite year. Joining us today are the usual 20 million people, including Kevin. Shut up and dance.
Yeah.
Kimberly, our gospel according to the King Game Master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
She must listen.
And with us today is a Broadway photographer, for lack of a better phrase, who is one of the best. He created the Dressing Room Project, has been featured in publications like Playbill, Vogue, Forbes, and the New York Times. He's a founding member of the Musical Theater Factory and the resident photographer at the Playwright Horizons. Oh. Let's give a big Broadway said welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Michael Kushner.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
I'm so turned on right now.
That's an impressive resume, sir. Just little pieces he was reading out.
There are some things that are not... Well, I mean, they change every day. So,
yeah.
I don't know what happened about Playwrights Horizons, but, that's... Can I correct you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what... Musical Theater Factory is partnered with Playwrights Horizons, but I'm no longer with them.
Sure.
I'm a founding member of Musical Theater Factory, and then I just didn't have the capacity for it anymore.
Sure, sure.
So
you're too popular.
You said it, not me. Honestly, it's the weirdest thing that I hear.
Listen, I pulled that all from your website, so.
Oh, I gotta update that. It's the weirdest thing to hear my bio read to me, because I'm who is that?
You're who does those things? Oh, that I do those things.
Because it's the weirdest thing, because it's that was never the plan.
So I really want to get into that, but before we start, you can follow him at the Michael Kushner.
Yeah.
Please do. He has some really great photos.
Also follow at the Dressing Room Project.
Yeah. I feel that one's more important, just because it's
yeah,
cool.
Forget him. Follow the Dressing Room Project.
Yeah, honestly.
Let's start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What am I drinking?
Am I allowed to join in that? Yeah, of course.
Okay. Oh my God. You need to stop hanging out.
We totally did the same inflection, too.
I'm going to cut your track, but you can sing along.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Honestly, my cut has been tracked. Oh my God. Here we go.
What are you drinking?
I know. I'm drinking basically straight vodka with food dye in it. My track has been cut before, and it was in the On the Town revival. I did it at Barrington Stage before it went to Broadway, and
okay.
I was not brought to Broadway with it.
Oh.
So this is not my first time
at
the rodeo.
So cheers to that. Cheers to that track. Cheers.
But honestly, I will tell you, it was my first gig outside of college.
Okay.
And I was like, I
mean, wait, what amazing school did you go to?
I went to Ithaca College.
Oh, I hear it's incredible, and the people who go there are amazing.
Do you know about it?
I've heard about it.
Did you hear that it's
gorgeous?
Are you a Rising Star nominee as well?
Oh, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
It's that's New Jersey. Jersey.
Oh, that's Jersey. No, yeah. I'm Long Island with Fort Lauderdale Rising.
So. Yeah. Yes, Florida. Yes, Florida.
Yeah.
I love that. And he's drinking the Reka vodka. It's a small batch vodka handcrafted in Iceland. It's fantastic.
It's so good.
I feel it coursing through my veins. And I
Oh.
I do. I feel warm.
Good.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I found a bottle that has been on our shelf for a while untouched and decided that that's what I wanted today.
Okay. Arsenic.
So I have and Old Lace. Yeah. I have limoncello.
We love her.
That one of Brian's coworkers brought back from Italy, uh-huh. and I just put a lot of seltzer water in with it.
Great,
great.
I'm drinking. And it's kind of nice.
It is?
I wish I had a sugared rim.
Well.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
I am drinking the Milagro tequila, but this one is the Reposado.
Mm-hmm.
It still has that good, sweet agave realness, and I love it.
Great. I'm drinking the same thing.
Also, I put too much in my glass, so you can already tell that I can't speak as well.
No, I love it.
Yeah, Kevin fully, like, poured it like it was just, this is how much you pour into a cup.
Right, but you know when you're looking at, like, a bottle... And, like, it looks like there's not that much left.
Sure.
But then when I pour it into the glass, just, like, it's actually more than you thought.
That's a bottle of wine for me, honestly.
It's also one of those
bottle.
Things that, like,
oh, it's gone.
I don't like putting a bottle back. I don't care what kind of liquid it is. If there's, like, just a little left, it feels like just freaking finish
it. Did your siblings do that?
Yes.
That was like always a running yelling thing of like, who put back one sip of iced tea because they didn't want to wash the
So there's certain times when I have the last of an orange juice container or something and I pour it in the glass and realize that like I've almost filled the glass but there's still a little more so I'll like quickly
sip it out
and then pour the rest in.
But on that note.
What are you drinking?
The same thing as you.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. On that note, I want to go back to something that you said earlier that wasn't the plan. Oh. Well, let's talk about your plan. So you said this wasn't your plan.
No.
How did you find this passion and then business? How did it evolve from what you were doing to where you are?
It's actually
getting cut at Barrington to here we are.
Yeah.
Honestly, the thing is like my therapist she literally looked at me and was like, "Your powers of manifestation are insanity." And I have a Mary Poppins tattoo, right? It's on my forearm.
I'm very into it.
Tomorrow I shoot Julie Andrews.
No.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, I'm shooting Julie Andrews tomorrow. So like,
are you going to wear long sleeves or are you going to like let that tattoo flow out?
Let it sink in. You're shooting Julie Andrews tomorrow.
No, she's the reason why I do what I do. I mean, like before I was even talking, I was walking around the house with hats and umbrellas. I'm breaking them.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I have a picture to literally show you, but you can't see it because it's a podcast. So my powers of manifestation are a little nuts, and I know it. I wrote a one-man show that I did twice last year called Moo With Me, and it was about it was about photographing Adina, and it's basically literally about annoying the universe so much that she just gives you what you're looking for because you're like, so annoying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when it comes to Adina, like I'll be like, yeah, we have the same jawline, but it's like more than that. It's honestly like watching, like honestly, like vocal prowess comes very like hard to me. Mm-hmm. Just singing comes hard. I was musical theater at Ithaca, but it was more of the like, oh, he's going to learn how to perform as opposed to like, we're going to bring in a really talented person.
Sure. Yeah,
And there were those people in my class that were amazing, but they were like, oh, he's going to like learn
Work
how to
for
sing.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that was me. And yeah, I do sing. I know how to sing. It's fine, but I sound like Ethel Merman and I look like 16. So, and so it's kind of like, did I say that right? I sound like Ethel Merman.
Yeah,
you
nailed it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the business doesn't really know what to do with me. And instead of letting the business tell me where I fit, I tell the business where I fit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I create my own work, and I go to the auditions that I really feel like I can nail,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, no, you need to hire me for this. Because I have too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too many things I like to do. I love to produce, I love to photograph, and I love to perform. And I'm not going to go to the Hello Dolly ECC at Totem Pole Playhouse. I mean, like, for me, for you, do it. Like,
No. We wouldn't go either, but
no,
I understand what you're saying.
But if Joe Schmo needs to go, like,
yes, I'm
not knocking that. I'm not saying that your journey is any less than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, personally, I can't give my best at that audition. I literally went to an audition once, and I was like, I'm going to spice it up. I'm going to not tell them what I'm singing, because the punchline, the title of the song is the punchline. So I was like, hey, I'm Michael Kushner, and like
this
went...
This isn't a song.
Yeah, literally just motion, and they're like, wait, what's the title of the song? And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't really want to tell you, because it's going to like ruin the punchline of the song. And they're like, no, tell us.
Really?
And I literally went, it's Undressing Girls With My Eyes, okay. here we go.
Yeah, you're like, and now you know the joke, so let's hear the beginning of it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I changed it to interesting guys in my eyes, but like that's a different story. And but like that's, you know, it's I was like, I don't need to be a part of that. That's mm-hmm. not how I like to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So everything.
That's from Enter Laughing, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It is technically from.
So along 174th Street.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, yeah. And then they changed it in Enter Laughing, mm-hmm. which at the York one that they just did recently, like yes. a few weeks ago, they even changed it even
did
more.
Did it again? I saw it at the York when I was in college.
Yes. They just
way
did
back.
It. Yeah. They
with
just.
Josh Gazzetti.
Yes.
Yeah. And so good. This one, right. Farrah Alvin was in this one, right?
Farrah was, yeah, a few people were in it. This is crazy. Oh my god. I can't even remember. Allison Fraser was just in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cheers to that. Six of my friends were in it. I'm like, la 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 la. So cool.
Rake of Vodka is so good.
You know, you go down into the basement, into the York, yes. and yeah. what yeah. you see there stays there.
Yeah,
no,
stays
and
there.
No cell phone service.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Like,
no, of course
yeah.
not.
You can't
no
take
program
selfies.
Down there.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly,
nothing.
You can't. But that's the thing. Like, I was literally like, how do I fit in this business? Because I was a child actor. And I like was in callbacks for 13 and
yes.
stuff like that, and you know I was a part of that life, even though I was growing up in Fort Lauderdale, and I've always loved this business, every aspect of this business, and I knew that I was like, okay, you're not just going to be an actor, you're going to
sure.
do a lot of things. But now what's so amazing is that I get to label that, even though I'm anti-labeling, I still get to label it. And I go, mm-hmm. I'm a multi-hyphenate. I'm an artist who has multiple proficiencies that cross-pollinate to help flourish professional capabilities.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does that fit on a business card?
It does not, but it does fit in a workshop. Yeah. Yes. So I basically, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically I like do a lot and I do it well. And like people pay me to do those mm-hmm. things, which is kind of exciting. And everyone, I'm noticing, like, in Instagram bios being, like, multi-hyphenate. I'm like, good.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. It's exciting. But what I do is I don't, like, just, like, go, okay. I message people. If I see that, I message people and I go, hey, lunch, we're doing this. We got to talk. So it's exciting because, I mean, like, all of us are multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just embracing that.
We just don't understand
it. It's also
it.
Like our generation is just what we're doing.
So for listeners, I literally just pointed and said, ooh. Yes, but with my eyes.
Mm.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Because with technology, we have trained ourselves to do so much more. I mean, the fact that you are able to do this, your podcast, and go about your lives in other ways,
mm-hmm.
it is multi-hyphenated. You know,
yeah.
I'm a performer, photographer, producer. That's what I do. I don't really have capacity to do other things, but other
mm-hmm.
people have capacity to do 4, 5, 6,
mm-hmm.
7 things. You know what I mean? And that's
yeah.
that's just not me. I can't.
How did you find your way? How did, and correct me if I'm wrong. How did photography kind of take the lead?
So when I was a child actor, I literally collected my cast members' headshots, and I said, this looks like you. This doesn't look like you. You need a new picture. This is good for another. I just like loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. I just
yeah.
like loved it. And then before studying abroad at Ithaca,
mm-hmm.
I got a camera.
Ithaca.
Oh,
where did you go?
Ithaca.
No, abroad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what was the question?
How did photography?
Oh, you got a camera before
you got
studied.
A camera.
So I went to London.
Got it.
And
so did Brian.
I was like taking and Tim Kidd.
Yeah, I love him.
So. London, I brought my camera and I took pictures of everything and everyone's like, you need to be a photographer. And I was like, okay. So that'll be my survival job, which I don't call a survival job anymore. It's
yeah.
a for now job, but that's not photography for me. That's a whole, that goes into the cycles. It's not even a cycle. It's like a look at the infinity sign. I don't think of it as a cycle. I think of it as an infinity sign. It's all cross-pollinating, right? It's all bringing each other into
yeah.
the other aspect. So photography helps. The income from photography helps me produce projects I can then be in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's photography, producing, performance.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So that's multi-hyphenation for me. So I, as a senior, I literally took headshots of underclassmen.
Oh, you're the seniors? Mm-hmm. Oh, the underclassmen.
Well, an underclassman who gave me $50 a pop, and that got me my weed, my vodka, mm-hmm. and I partied and loved it. And I was like, great, I'm going to do this. It's my survival job in the city. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't my survival job. It quickly became a love mm-hmm. And a necessity for what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
No, that's great.
That's brilliant.
I mean, there's more, but like that's it.
So let's talk about headshots for a second.
Yeah, tell me. Talk to me.
I love looking at headshots.
What?
Me too. Except not really, but like we'll talk about
that.
Oh, yeah.
I have three questions. You can answer them in any order. We can just like have a big discussion about headshots.
Okay.
The first one is, what are people looking for in a headshot? Okay. Whether it is the person having the picture taken or someone behind the table. Two, what are you looking for in the headshots when you're taking them? And then three, what overall suggestions do you have for, like, today's headshots?
The answer for all of them mm-hmm. must be that it has to tell a story. How many photos do you think a casting director sees in one day?
3,002.
A lot.
16.
Wait, do you know the
way
actual
more than
number?
16.
No,
what
I'm playing Price is Right
rules. Oh, right.
One photo.
I said one. Yeah,
that was amazing.
I was like waiting for the reference. I thought I was going to make it, but you beat me. Okay, so it's actually 6,000.
Okay.
In a day.
Okay.
Holy because crap. Of what we have.
Just the high level of submissions.
Online
and,
submissions
yeah.
and mm-hmm. all that good stuff. So, your photo needs to be as specific as possible. It needs to say, I'm a mom that's running late to her office job, but my kid just spilled SpaghettiOs on her white shirt and she needs her Tide to Go stick. That's what your headshot needs to say. It's
every single headshot must
everyone.
Tell that
yes.
story.
Every single
that's
one.
Heaven,
the secret.
Yours is wrong.
Yeah, yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Every single one.
Yeah.
But your headshot needs to tell a story like that. It, like, everyone is... I don't mean to say everyone. A lot of people are afraid of specificity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I don't
need the jewel tone and the same hair as everyone else. And
honey.
Like,
honey, and those
And they're
people,
afraid to be... It's so true. They're afraid to be too specific because then they think that that's limiting what they can play and they'll only be seen as one thing.
On the contrary, we have digital photography, right? So that mm-hmm. means you have that photo, but then you also have the... SVU, no makeup, I just woke up from a bender, and I have no recollection of my night, and now the police are at my door, and I have to figure out what exactly happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the complete opposite. But photographers now offer all these packages,
and
right?
And you have the ability to, you don't have to print out the 200
no.
at once.
No.
You can, like, have two of each.
Right.
Or, you know, you can really spread it out and scale
you
your
you
portfolio.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you can label them, like, Kimberly, blue shirt, good one.
Yes, yeah.
And then submit them for people. That's my favorite. When I worked as an intern in casting, was like what people like labeled their files, and
oh
I was like,
God.
You know, I can see that like your resume is called like the new one.
Yeah,
that's hysterical.
Like, get it.
I once had somebody submit something for a play I wrote, and their resume was the real one, no joke, the real one.
That
was the title. And I was like, yes! It didn't have their name in the file, nothing. Like, it just said, the real one, no
That's
joke,
so
the
good.
Real
That's
one.
That's what I call my boyfriend.
Cheers.
Cheers. yes, Michael Kushner headshot is just fine. You know what I mean? But, you know, for being storytellers, we don't tell stories with we need to tell stories with every aspect of our being. Our book, our headshot, our outfits, our email correspondence. Like, everything needs to be a part of who we are. So, that being said, headshots is like the leading one where we need to be telling the stories, especially with headshot photographers that offer different looks.
Yes.
And that's funny that you said the jewel tone thing because I have a lot of clients that come with their jewel tone dresses and nude heels and blonde ringlets, and they go, I'm quirky, fun, and vulnerable.
Okay.
Let's have a moment of silence for those words.
That is every, like, fresh MT grad.
Yeah, and also, what are you saying if you're showing up wearing the same thing and going for the same look as everyone else, but
it's
trying to
say
that
quirky.
You're... Yeah, like, Like that girls. Bites yeah. the word.
I would say the only person that's quirky is Sarah Styles. I think that's like quirk, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I
think
actually, yeah.
I think like that is like, she's the definition and the role that she's playing. I think that is a quirk.
Yeah.
But now we've all taken it and been like, I'm quirky. And then it's lost its complete meaning.
Yeah. Well, quirk also has specificity, like you were talking about, whereas like a generic quirk isn't quirk at all.
No, it's not. It's
like,
not.
I look like a pretty girl who might spill my latte, but then still get the guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they mean by quirky.
Right. Like, but even then, that's a story. Right. That's yeah, a yeah. moment. Yeah. And come up with that, like... Like, what do you want this look to be? It's, and then I go, like for me as a performer, I go, I have the vulnerability of Timothy Chalamet and the exuberance of Mel Brooks. Like, you know what I mean? So people can go, what the fuck? But also, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And or I go, I look 16 but sound like Ethel Merman. And like people go, I have no idea what that means, but I also know exactly what that means.
Totally. Yeah.
So it's just about understanding who you are and the fun of it.
This is yep. fascinating.
It's fun.
It's like when a stand-up makes a reference to how they look
yes.
as a joke.
Yes.
It's exactly that.
Yes.
It's just like the stand-up being like, I look like, oh, what is John Mulaney's? I look yep. like a very elderly kindergartner.
Oh my god. Yes. Like 100%. Honestly, if you want great ways to describe yourself, watch Big Mouth.
Mm. Oh yeah.
The way that they comment on how people look and how people act is actually I don't laugh out loud when I watch a show because my jaw is I burped. My jaw is dropped the whole time because I think that their commentary on the world, it's the new South Park. Well, I actually think South Park is brilliant. It's because South Park leaves no holds barred. Is that what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Is that they deliver news and current events in a way where no one is safe.
Correct.
And I think it is actually extremely progressive, like Howard Stern. People will disagree with me, but I've been listening to Howard Stern since I'm in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents would drop me off with Howard Stern playing in the car.
Yeah.
And
they would drop you off with Howard Stern.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh that's yeah, nice. That is he babysat?
Yeah, he was my babysitter.
yeah. He also has the ringlets and the jewel tones.
Oh, yeah. You'd actually be surprised. He's like so basic. But honestly, like, Robin Quivers is my bestie. But honestly, like, I think, you know, the people that are the most successful in business, we can, like, look at them and go, they are this, they are this, they are this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why don't we do that for ourselves? I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't. And like, I'm not saying that wherever you are in your journey is not any less than anything else. I'm just saying... Just do the work on yourself. I'm mm-hmm. imploring you to do the work on yourself. And if you're not ready to do the work on yourself, then, like, that's fine. But at least start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Start journaling. Start looking at yourself in the mirror. Start looking at songs that tell stories that you want to tell. And even if you're like, that's sung by a dude. Like, okay, well, find a musician. Transpose mm-hmm. the key. Put it in a style of music that you want and tell that story.
Yes. Norm Lewis used to audition with Before the Parade Passes By.
And look where he is now.
And I tell this I tell this King story Triton. Multiple times. So when I had a show
today in... Today is 2007.
Yeah, today.
When I had a show in Nymph, we had a equity call that we sat through. And
oh,
I saw like 375 people audition in one day.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you any of them for the most part... But there was one girl who came in who did not put her purse down. She kept it on her shoulder when she was, like, doing her little slate thing. And we're like, is she not going to put her bag down? And the music, the piano, she didn't also did not announce her song. And the piano started, and it was Mariah Carey's Hero.
Oh, my God.
And she reached into her purse and brought out a fresh Subway sub and sang the entire...
What might I call a hero.
Yes. And she sang the entire song to the sandwich. And then right before the money note, she took a giant bite and then lettuce was falling out of her mouth as she finished singing. And it was possibly the funniest and most memorable thing. And she got callbacks from everyone on the panel. And they were all doing, like, the whole room was doing all dramas. So, like, as soon as a comedy song would start, a lot of people kind of tuned out because that's not what we were looking for. Right. But because this girl was so committed and so in it, we were just like, I trust that girl. To, like, go there if I need her to. And then so she got called back for, like, every single show, including ours, and we weren't even looking for females. But we, like, consider, because we like precast the females for our show, but we were considering like somehow we could figure out how to use her because she was so original.
I mean, look,
she ended up doing the lighting design.
No, but it was
that's
brilliant.
That's hysterical.
Like having something and telling a story and being committed was brilliant.
Well, there are, I've heard many success stories where people, there'll be a girl that'll show up to a dance call and she doesn't know what to do, so she whips out her tap shoes and shows her and she gets the gig. But that doesn't always happen.
Correct, true.
Let me tell, I'm not saying that you're, that wasn't me being like, cool, but no. No, I'm literally saying yes.
Yes.
And
correct.
This is an improv class.
What I know, yeah. Yes, and always deny. Just kidding. So I think when people say quirk, mm-hmm. that's when we bring in that. That's what that.
I have never
is.
Heard of somebody saying to like bring a story into a headshot session and tell
they
that.
Must.
That's
be
so
stories.
Brilliant.
Thank you. They must be stories because then the because
every headshot session I've ever had has been suck in your gut and try to look pretty. Like, I'm not even, like, every single one has been suck in your gut and try to look pretty.
Which is weird, because that's what we say on the podcast, too.
That's what I've been doing this whole time.
I got a face for radio.
Oh, no, wait, shut up. I can't believe you said that, because I say that to a nervous client after a while. I say, honey, you have a face for radio, and that gets them the first laugh.
That's amazing.
Where I'm like, look at what you can do. I go, look at what you can do. You just give me a guttural laugh, okay? Can you let go? And they go, okay, I can. Mm-hmm. And I use that joke, actually.
That's smart.
I use that joke. I have a
little... Every photographer I've had has been silent behind the camera, and then they stop and they go, do you want to change shirts?
What?
That's literally every...
Kevin, what kind of photographer did you hire?
Can you change shirts in front of
me? Yeah. You want to be a star? Yeah.
Fame.
The last time I got literally just fame. Show me them.
What'd you say?
The last time I got headshots, they didn't show me a single picture.
I had that experience once
before. And I was just like, but I need to know what I look like in this world you've created.
How much
around
were you paying
me.
For those headshots?
Oh, quite a bit of money. Hmm. I think I got a discount, but they were like $400 in 2016.
What's a good, for all of our listeners, what is an, obviously the quality of the photographer is going to come into play here, but what is it like, what is an acceptable range for a headshot session?
As in money?
Yeah.
Cool. So sorry.
We don't have to talk about this, but
no, I will very openly. I as an artist, because I come from a very privileged background, I was like, I vow to for whatever art I do, it will be accessible and it will be non-quotidian and will change the world around me. Mm-hmm. So my rates are very low because I don't like I love meeting people and I love welcoming people into my space. So I don't want my rates to be able to, disengage other people from coming to me. So I have packages that are $399 all the way up to $1,000. But based on time and effort and the $1,000 package includes hair and makeup, like, it's really, it does not bend you over backwards. And, like, I'm very open to, like, hearing what you need from me. So, like, I work with Brooklyn Children's Theater in where they work with artists that are homeless. Mm-hmm. And so they come to me, and I will shoot them for free because those are artists that need that resource. And Sherry Sanders and I, who's of Rock the Audition, we just launched Rock the Audition Coalition in effort to mobilize inclusivity in the theater community. And it started out because she trains trans non-binary artists for free. And I was like, well, if you do that, what if when they're done with you, they come to me for a free headshot? And she's like, well, what if we come up with a coalition and we just like train everyone for free and make the industry better? And I was like, 100%. So last night we had our first town hall where we... Ali Bigori, who is an artist with a disability, she's low vision. She organized the town hall last night and had a panel of artists with disabilities, and then Sherry trained those artists with disabilities in front of a group of people. We had 50 people show up last night for our first night. It was unbelievable. It was some of literally, and I will say this. wholeheartedly in this mic. It was some of the sexiest work I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable. We had John McGinty, who is an actor who is deaf. He signed a song with a vocalist with him. And when he had he did Lilac Wine, and it was sexy to begin with. Mm-hmm. It was just like amazing. And then Sherry gave him the adjustment to just be a little tipsy and madly in love. It was some of the sexiest, compassionate, brilliant, interpersonal work I have ever seen in my life. It was truly unbelievable. So the fact that we as an industry are limiting ourselves, we have a lot of stories to tell. And we just got to be able to create space where that can be held. 36 size font for sides for artists with low vision. That's easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just
little things you never think about that like change the world for somebody.
Yeah. And they are not strong. They are not brave. They are artists with a disability. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like not being like, wow.
Yeah. Not the patronizing of everything.
No. Yeah. But also just like being like, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was an amazing conversation last night. It was really, still reeling from it. It was super brilliant.
Will these town halls continue?
Oh, yeah. We're really focusing on marginalized artists of all sorts. Artists of color. LGBTQI+. Artists with PTSD. You know what I mean? Artists with disabilities. Yeah. I mean, like, there are a lot of marginalized communities that we're really not talking about that have to be involved in the conversation, and we're going to do that, which is very exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's play a game.
Oh my God,
sure.
Games. Was this thrilling for you or not?
No, yes.
I want to be the best guest you ever.
It is a competition every time.
Oh my God. For me, yes. And that is what I'm talking to my therapist about.
Since this is Thanksgiving, we're going to make a Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow. Gobble, gobble.
Yes.
Gobble, gobble, honey.
So if everyone could pick a slip of paper that tells you what course of the meal, yes, you will be asked to create for us.
I'm so excited.
And then pick a show card
that
will inspire your dish.
Okay. The Lights of Broadway show.
I mean, I'm already.
Yes, and these are all shows.
I'm already a dish, if you will.
Yes,
all right.
Kevin is a dish, whatever.
I think you mean snack.
Okay, I'm so excited.
Snack is what the youths are saying.
Yes.
Okay. Brian is our appetizer.
Yes, I have the appetizer and I have West Side Story. Okay. So we're just going to do tostones for everybody.
Yes! Okay.
I love tostones.
With a Krupke sauce.
What's in the Krupke sauce?
In the Krupke sauce is a little bit of, it's a little spicy.
Okay, yeah, duh.
You think it's going to be just like this like bland sauce that like just kind of is there.
Yep.
But then you realize there's like a character to it.
Oh, I like that.
Right.
So our appetizer is tostones with Krupke sauce.
And you think it doesn't fit, but then all of a sudden like you realize why you put the sauce on.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you laugh.
It makes you laugh. And it just, like, breaks. It just, the Tosones is so serious that, like, you know, it just adds a little, you know, a little break from the action, if you will.
I love that.
But still complimenting it.
Yeah. Who has the main course?
I do.
Great.
So, the main course is inspired by Groundhog Day.
Ooh.
So it is
it's Groundhog.
It is a.
That's hysterical.
Please don't.
No, no.
Okay.
It is. So we're having a turducken.
Oh.
Because ooh. I've always wanted to have a turducken, so we're doing it now.
Oh no.
It's a, what turkey stuffed with a
duck and chicken,
and then stuffed with a duck in the middle.
It's chicken in a duck. But it
sounds like
in
my sex life, so honestly.
But it's called turducken surprise. Because
turducken surprise.
Yeah. Oh my God, cheers.
Because
cheers.
The person who made the feast, whether it be your mother, father, grandfather, whoever it is that made the food, will bring out like a big presentation and then serve, like carve it, and it'll be like a whole presentation thing, and then serve everybody a piece. And then as soon as everyone finishes their first piece they're given, the person then goes into the kitchen and brings out a brand new one and does the exact same presentation over again. So it's just because, like, Groundhog Day, just the presentation keeps happening
that.
Over and over again.
Wonderful.
So if you want seconds, it has to come from the brand new turducken.
Oh, gorge.
Wow. Yeah, so there's
but
like,
also wasteful.
There's, like, quite a few turduckens in this house.
Right.
But also each turducken, you know, layers upon layers upon layers.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
We move on to the signature cocktail.
Oh, my God, that's me.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm the cocktail, and mine is Sunset Boulevard.
Yes! Yes. Which you just saw.
Which I just saw, starring Alice Ripley.
Was she incredible?
She was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And she was so happy, and I know that she's fine with me, like, talking about this, but, like, she was so happy when I photographed her backstage for it.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, love photographing Alice. We've become good friends, which is very exciting. I really love her. She was so happy. She was saying it over and over and over again, and she was just, like, talking a mile a minute. She was just, like, so thrilled, and it showed in her performance, which made, like, the heartfelt moments even more devastating.
Sure.
It was just like, oh, God, I know that you personally are so... It was just so... She's amazing. She is literally one of the most brilliant performers of our time,
yeah.
as the four of us can definitely agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that my cocktail is going to be the Skeleton Key. And
all right.
I will tell you why I discovered
okay.
this,
uh-huh.
Why I chose this. It is 1 1/4 ounces of Corner Creek bourbon, 3/4 ounce of St. Germain, 1/2 ounce of fresh lemon juice, 3 to 5 ounces of ginger beer, and 8 dashes of Angostura. Yeah.
Angostura
bitters. I will tell you why I chose a bourbon cocktail, because there's one lyric in the show that I love, and it's, I love flannel on a man. I love it. For some reason, I think it's very funny.
Okay.
Do you also love flannel on a man? Yeah, right?
I love flannel myself as well. So,
you're a man.
So, and
you know the price of admission.
Yeah, right? And I and flannel means bourbon to me.
Right.
Totally.
So
yeah.
I was like, okay, bourbon cocktail. And so here we are with that.
The Skeleton Key.
And then I was thinking of like Skeleton Key because I was thinking of like, okay, we have something like
the Kate Hudson movie.
Murder.
Right.
You know, there's murder at the end of the show.
Sure, sure.
So it's like, okay,
there
maybe.
Is?
This,
yeah. Mm-hmm. In
oh,
Sunset
yeah.
Boulevard?
Never seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Murder?
Yeah.
Murder.
Glenn Close murders?
Murders.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Clue?
Yes, okay. Just 2 days ago, actually, for the first time.
It was her first time.
Me?
Yes, her first time.
Since I watched it, like, on Comedy Central when I was 12.
I'm a plant. I thought they called men like you a fruit.
Oh, my God. That's... Wow, you're my new favorite person in the world.
I love
it's
that
one of my
movie
favorite
so
movies
much.
Of all time.
It's so good.
Oh, my God, it's
I enjoyed
brilliant.
It.
But someone killed the cook!
Why did they kill the cook again? Oh, she knew. Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Monkey soup. What is it? Monkey brains, which is a delicate.
Oh my God, I can't think of any line right now.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Flames on the side of my face.
Well, there's the. I didn't want to say that one because that's like the obvious one being
yeah,
like.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
No.
I'll show myself out.
No. You're saying a lot of amazing lines, and I didn't want to be the one that's like flames on the side.
Right.
Because that shows, like, I've seen the movie once or
one
twice.
One time. Yeah,
I've
yeah.
seen it a million times. I just, like, literally can't.
We were literally just talking about how Tim Curry, like, recreating what happened in the movie when he's explained. But then we went to look at, like, that is one of the best performances of anything ever.
It's unbelievable.
Because he's so real while being so madcap that it's like, the camp factor is at the highest level, and yet it's so honest and believable.
And everyone is on the same level, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about camp for a second. My boyfriend and I have an argument. I think that, what does he say? It's camp is, sorry, you need to do your menu.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh my God. Do your menu.
No, go for it.
Menu's campy.
I think he's the one that says that camp has to know that it's bad.
Yes.
But me, I go, camp has to be so in the root of its intention that we have to be drawn to it. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Because camp can't comment on that it's bad.
Right, no, because camp doesn't know it's bad.
Yeah.
Right, but there are...
Camp is.
Right, camp is. Camp is. Camp is. And I love that, actually.
Yeah, that's why camp is, like, good camp at its best is when the person believes that is whatever the emotion is, whatever the scenario is real.
You have to, like, really be dropped in into it.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
But there are people that say camp is when you comment on it and you know that it's bad and I
to me,
not
that's
agree.
The difference between camp and satire. Because 100%. Like, yes. A campy satire is commenting on itself.
Right, exactly.
But
and it's commenting
for, like,
on
the sake
what
of, like, a high-level camp.
Like, it's not commenting on that it itself is bad.
Right.
It is commenting on, like, this genre is kind of hokey, right?
Totally.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's when you get, like, the people who are doing, like, the detective noir novel to, like, the heightened point where it's like, of course it was raining, of course she walked into my office. And, like, that kind of thing, like, it is the heightened level and, like, they're commenting on it. But, like, so it's a little satirical.
Right.
But, like... Camp for just camp's sake has to just be honest.
What are your favorite camp aspects of
the bunks? Playing soccer with my friends. The counselors.
For me, auditioning for musicals. I went to Frenchwood.
Yeah, I know. We beat you in sports.
Where'd you go?
Westmont.
Oh, yes, you did.
And for dessert, we have Wicked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So obviously. We have a duo of cream puffs.
Okay.
We have a matcha cream puff.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So the cream puff itself is going to be, you know, your normal choux pastry. There will be a matcha-infused crackling on top.
Oh, my God. Do you watch Bake Off?
Which is the crunchy bit. I do. I also bake.
She actually, like, super bakes. It's
so
amazing.
I was so pumped to actually get dessert this time because usually
God.
I have to, like,
I'm gonna
fudge
cry.
My way around a main course, which I'm not good at.
Fudge?
Oh. I didn't even think about that. So it'll be a matcha pastry cream inside the cream puff with the matcha craquelin. It'll be a little, you know, it'll overflow a little bit so that you just put the top back on like a little hat.
Wow.
Yes.
And then there will obviously be a lemon curd cream puff as its alternative.
Love that.
Right.
Wow.
For our little Glinda girl.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
And that will have more of a glaze than a craquelin, so it'll be a regular cream puff and then dipped into a vanilla glaze with a lemon curd on the bottom and then, you know, your typical very sweet whipped cream on top.
Those sound like they're worth the calories.
Thank you, Prue.
You're welcome.
You get a handshake for that one.
Cheers for that Thanksgiving dinner.
Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Cheers.
Turkey lurkey time.
That's a Christmas song.
Oh, my God. Do you think it's a Christmas song?
It happens at Christmas.
Oh, true.
I just like to say because it has turkey in it.
Yeah.
Turkey lurkey.
But,
But didn't, like, a British person write it and they have turkey at Christmas because they don't have Thanksgiving?
Right.
Yeah. They don't have Thanksgiving.
do they have Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin?
It always takes me by surprise.
Michael, welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I have three highly researched questions to ask you.
Highly researched.
And they came from, today is the name game again, so I typed in your last name into Wikipedia and then went down some weird rabbit holes from there.
I won't show up.
So, no, you didn't, but other people...
I'm not on Wikipedia.
But other people with
yet.
Your last name did, and it was very fascinating.
Oh, my God. Totally.
So we're going to see what happens.
That last name probably has a lot of Wikipedia behind it.
It does, and we skipped some of those.
Specific Wikipedia, because it's, like, not... It's not, like, a Johnson.
Right.
But it's, like, my great-grandfather worked for Bugsy Siegel.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Cool.
I don't know if you're related to any of these people, but we'll find out. So your last name, no, question one. Your last name is Kushner, just like David Kushner, or Dave Kushner, an American musician perhaps best known as the rhythm guitarist for the rock, hard rock supergroup Velvet Revolver.
Oh.
Kushner has also been a member of Wasted Youth, Electric Love Hogs, Loaded, Danzig, Jane's Addiction, guitarist Dave Navarro's solo band Sugartooth, and Zilch, while he also recorded with the Infectious Grooves, Sicko Mico, and more recently collaborated with Scars on Broadway guitarist Frankie Perez, releasing songs under the pseudonym DKFXP, a combination of the initials of Perez and Kushner, as well as working with Indian singer and actress Shruti Hassan.
Cool.
Congrats.
Hassan Kif is an ancient town and district located along the Tigris River in northeastern Turkey in the Batman province. But Batman, The Killing Joke, is a 1988 DC comic one-shot graphic novel featuring the characters Batman and the Joker, written by Alan Moore and illustrated by Brian Boland. The Killing Joke provides an origin story for the supervillain The Joker, loosely adapted from the 1951 story arc The Man Behind the Red Hood. And in this, the Joker's origin is presented via flashback, while simultaneously depicting his attempt to drive Jim Gordon insane and Batman's desperate attempt to stop him. So my question is, if you were to become a Broadway-themed superhero, what would your superpower be, what would your costume be, and what would your mantra be, a la, like, truth, justice, and the American way?
Whose mantra is that?
Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So first would be, like, what would your superpower be if you were a Broadway-themed superhero?
Mama Rose is, like, calling to me right now.
I love this.
I would, like, I like her idea of she will do anything to get what she sees fit for
her kids.
Her kids. But I want that for my clients.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, that's nice. But, like, also, like, I will literally, like, I will not stop a photo shoot until I know that we have a photo that reflects what we got. So I guess, like, there's a Rose aspect to me, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm kind of like, I know I said I was going to get you out of here at this time, but, like, we need to, like, you need to put on that shirt, and, like, we need to get on that eye, and you need to, like, do this.
Totally.
Okay, so that's...
That's your superpower.
That's my superpower right now.
What's
it's
your
like
costume?
It's, like, understanding, like, your full potential.
Okay.
My costume would absolutely be Elphaba's Act 2 dress.
Amen.
With the hat.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to wear that?
Which I've worn the hat before, but not the dress.
And then what would be your mantra?
My mantra? I love flannel on a man.
So every headshot you ever did for a man was just flannel.
Yeah.
A flannel backdrop. A flannel shirt.
Oh, you brought a flannel shirt. I like this for some reason.
This speaks to me. Okay, question two. Your last name is Kushner still.
Still.
Just like the Kushner equation in filtering theory, which is an equation for the conditional probability density of the state of a stochastic nonlinear dynamical system.
Stop using math.
Given noisy measurements of the state.
Noisy.
That's what it says. It therefore provides the solution of a nonlinear filtering problem in estimation theory. Theory of a dead man, abbreviated as theory or toad, is a Canadian rock band from Delta, British Columbia. Formed in 2001, the band is currently signed to Roadrunner Records as well as 604 Records. They have two contracts. The band also includes traits of other music styles such as country and acoustic, as well as their post-grunge and alternative rock bass. They have had 8 top 10 hits on the U.S. Billboard Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks charts, including 3 number 1 hits,
so
Bad Girlfriend, Low Life, and RX Medicate. ATC code DO9 Medicated Dressings is a therapeutic subgroup of the Anatomical Therapeutic Chemical Classification System, a system of alphanumeric codes developed by the WHO for the classification of drugs and other medical products. Subgroup DO9 is part of the anatomical group Dermatologicals.
Sure.
So my question is,
okay,
Do you go to the dermatologist?
What are three books that you've read that have really stayed with you or had a strong impact on you?
Three books.
1984.
Good choice.
Madeleine Kahn's biography. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of flames.
So, I was once with Randy Skinner, and he was like, "How's it going?" And I was like, "Not great." And he's like, "Why?" And I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Whose career do you want to emulate?" Which is a huge question that I ask my clients. Whose career do you want? Whose career can you steal? And in that moment, I was like, oh, Madeleine Kahn. That's whose career I want. But my own version. And he's like, well, her biography just came out. Have you read it? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, read it. And he's like, okay. And that biography helped. Learning about where she came from and what she was dealing with, you know, personally and all that stuff. I love that book. It's 300 pages plus, but really dense. It's a lot of information. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of like, it's not entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's just very factual. Okay. And my third would be Diary of a Mad Playwright by James Kirkwood, who wrote the book for Chorus Line. And
Kevin's new favorite show.
Yeah. So James wrote this book called, he wrote this play called Legends! Exclamation point. And he basically went on this big struggle to like figure out who he wanted to star in it. And he got Carol Channing and Mary mm-hmm. Martin. And the book is about the whole play and how it was going to Broadway.
Wow.
And there's a really depressing aspect of it, but the book is a comedy, and it let me in on Carol Channing and Mary Martin and mm-hmm. how the industry worked in the 80s and all of this. It was truly unbelievable, but it's one of my favorite books of all time. It's actually out of print, but
wow.
you can get it mm-hmm. on Amazon. It's a part of the industry that doesn't exist anymore. And it actually makes me emotional because like I have a hard copy of it and I was like reading it on the train and all this stuff, but it like it doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I'll tell you the emotional part. The whole time I was reading it, I was imagining this guy, James, in his Upper West Side apartment, like just like being old and crotchety. And I was like, I'm going to find him and I'm going to buzz his apartment and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to barge in and just be like, tell me everything you know. And just as I was about to do that, I turned the last page of the book right when it ended and said he died of AIDS in the 90s.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was so devastated. I was so sad.
Because you never could talk to him about it.
I can't talk to him about it. And it's like I couldn't even like think about talking to him about it. It was like a thing where it was so gone. It was so gone.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to listen to the original cast of like Lacage, right? Mm-hmm. Because you hear voices that are not with mm-hmm. us anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and so James is one of those people. That book where he's being so sassy and raunchy, and he was being, but he's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought he was like this 97-year-old guy,
right?
His
right,
everyone
yeah, yeah, yeah. man that you could, yeah.
And I can't ever ask him those questions.
Oh,
I know. That's why it's my favorite book, Diary of a Mad Playwright.
Number three. Your last name is still Kushner.
It still is.
Just like Rachel Kushner, an American writer known for her novels Telex from Cuba in 2008, The Flamethrowers in 2013, and in 2018 she wrote The Mars Room. Room 40, also known as 40OB, was the cryptoanalysis section of the British Admiralty during the First World War. The group, which was formed in October 1914, began when Rear Admiral Henry Oliver, the director of naval intelligence, gave intercepts from the German radio system at Neuen near Berlin to director of naval education Alfred Ewing, who constructed ciphers as a hobby. Ewing recruited civilians such as William Montgomery, a translator of theological works from German, and Nigel de Grey, a publisher. It was estimated that during the war, Room 40 decrypted around 15,000 intercepted German communications from wireless and telegraph traffic. Most notably, the section intercepted and decoded the Zimmermann telegraph, a secret diplomatic communication issued from the German Foreign Office in January 1917 that proposed a military alliance between Germany and Mexico. Its decoding has been described as the most significant intelligence for the British during World War I because it played a significant role in drawing the then neutral United States into the conflict. Mm-hmm. In distributed computing, a conflict three replicated data type is a data structure which can be replicated across multiple computers in a network where the replicas can be updated independently and concurrently without coordination between the replicas and where it is always mathematically possible to resolve inconsistencies which might result. Mm-hmm. So my question is, if you could go back in time to any time period, bringing with you your current camera equipment and technology, and do three photo shoots with any three Broadway stars, which three would you choose and why?
Merman. But one of my favorite things about her was that she had a, in Gypsy, there was a chorus girl that had a jar, and she did not like the cursing that was going on backstage of Gypsy, and she said, "Here's a jar. If you curse, you put a nickel every time you curse." And Merman saw it. She put a five in and said, "Here's a five, honey, and go f*** yourself."
I love that.
It's one of my favorite things in the world. If I had a camera, I would photograph Merman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Merman for me represents a big change in our industry. It's like, have you ever been in Sardi's?
Yeah.
There are people that are immortalized there where I go, "Oh, you are this very specific part of the industry. Like, you're a producer, or you're an artist, you're an actor that, like, had a few appearances here and there." But Merman, she created so many things. She created roles. She created the belt. She created presence. She created chutzpah. For those that are listening, that's Yiddish for balls. She created chutzpah. She created an experience. And I think that I would want to photograph Merman around town and just see how she interacted and created life. I have three.
Yeah. You got two more.
All right, Merman. One, I would want to... The second one, I would want to do the Black Crook.
Yes.
The Black Crook was what a lot of people think is the first American musical. It's a big extravaganza of a musical with sets and costumes and a story. People think that On Your Toes is the first American musical. People think that On the Town is the first American musical. People think that Oklahoma is the first American musical. So, you know, there are different reasons, but I would want to document the Black Crook because that was the late 1800s, and there's no documentation of that other than witness. So I would want to do that. Black Crook, Ethel Merman, and... I would want to do Glory Days.
Yes.
You're speaking to the right crowd here.
Saw it.
Did you really?
Yes. Sixth preview.
So you just want to, like, kind of capture that fleeting moment?
That moment of, like, everyone's, like, kind of unknown. Like, everyone's, like, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. like, I did that with Be More Chill, but Be More Chill ran a little bit. You know what I mean? I think that Be More Chill unleashed a monster. It's very exciting because we get to see the power of social media. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, might not have been a big hit. That's okay. But when a show gets carried to Broadway through social media and through fan power, you know.
That's exciting.
It's so exciting. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
There's so much.
The next 5 years are going to be very interesting to watch.
The next 5 years.
Jesus, I mean, the next entirety of time.
What about the last 5 years?
Also a very interesting watch. Well,
that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
What'd you say?
That brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh, that sucks.
You'll be back.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was a really, really great conversation over drinks.
Yeah, oh my God, yes.
Yes, no, actually.
I'm so fascinated still.
I went, actually, or no? That's fine.
Again, follow the Dressing Room Project.
Yeah.
You can follow us at Broadwasted.
Of course, always.
On all social media. That's you us. Can find us, our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Join our Patreon.
Do it.
Please and thanks.
And you can find us on things like Spotify, the Broadway Podcast Network. That's bpn.fm.
/Broadwasted. Check it out.
And then you can also find us on iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
And thank you.
But we end every episode with a quote.
Oh, we do that.
And today's quote is, "You want to know what's inside? I could tell you if I wasn't hiding. My whole life is in here, in this kitchen baking. What a mess I'm making."
Oh, Patris.
Because pies.
And what's really crazy is Thanksgiving. Like, that quote actually kind of goes along with what we were talking about. You want to know what's inside?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, Brian.
Cheers. I'm proud of you.
And we end every episode.
Zoot-doo-wop-bop.
Cheers. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And Kevin, why don't you give us a little taste of what's to come in December?
Okay, guys. Mm. So here's what's coming next. So in December, no surprise, but maybe a surprise. So in December, we're releasing a brand new holiday radio musical. Yes. Again, I am taking the helm and writing the book for this show. I'm also writing some new songs that you'll hear with an amazing composer, Jason Pomerantz. We had partnered last year on the It's a Broadwasted Life. Also exciting that there will be music written not just by me and Jason, but also a song by my buddy over here, Brian Plofsky.
Unless Kevin has cut it at this
point.
Right,
unless it gets cut. We don't know yet.
I was not asked to write a song.
We didn't ask Kimberly to write a song. Maybe that'll be next year's radio play.
They know it would be too good.
So this year's radio play, I can finally announce, is going to be, it's called Broadwasted Actually. So it is it a parody? Is it not a parody? We will find out. But we're really excited. There's a whole lot of really great Broadway stars who are going to be in the show, and that's going to be running in the month of December, so get ready to hear the brand new original Broadwasted Actually.
Awesome.
Yay!
Wait, did we do Zoot-doo-wop-bop?
Yeah.
Yes.
We did. Okay, cool. That's it.
We're good.
Yeah.
All right.
We did it.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.